Okay. I'm going to put some words up on the screen that I think most people here tonight will recognize. At least two of you probably won't. Meet Kathy, who's lived most everywhere, Zanzibar to Berkeley Square. But Patty's only seen the sights a girl can see from Brooklyn Heights. What a crazy pair. Where Kathy adores a minuet, the ballet russe, and the crepe Suzette. Our Patty loves to rock and roll. A hot dog makes her lose control. What a wild duet. Still, they're cousins. Identical cousins, and you will find. They laugh alike. They walk alike. Times they even talk alike. You can lose your mind when cousins are two of a kind. Where'd these words come from? The Patty Duke Show. You remember that, don't you, Zach? Back in the 1960s? The actress Patty Duke played two parts in the program. One was Kathy, who was from England, who was a very cultured and refined person, and the other was Patty from the United States. Not a hippie, but a free, kind of free spirit, yeah, that type of person. They, of course, it was the same actress, so they looked alike. Kathy had a English accent, but she could put that accent aside if she needed to, and they could talk alike, and they could walk alike, and oftentimes in the programs, the two of them were mistaken by others as each other, or they purposely deceived others by assuming the other's identity. That was the gist of the program. It was a comedy, but I like the last line, you can lose your mind. Tonight, we're going to get into our study in Matthew chapter 24 in earnest. It is what is part of what is called the Olivet Discourse, which is also found in Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. if you read these three books of the Bible, or the portions of the books of the Bible, you will find that there are words that sound exactly alike between them. And unfortunately, they are mistaken to be the same thing. I am going to suggest to you tonight that they are not. And we need to be very careful about our interpretation about what each of the Gospels is dealing with. We'll start with Matthew chapter 24. We're only going to consider the first three verses tonight. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Better translation, that Greek word aion is better translated as age. What is going to be the end of the age? Bible commentators differ as to how many questions are being asked in verse 3. Are there three separate questions here? Are there two questions here? Is there only one question here? Are all these three things jammed together pertaining to one event? I believe the correct answer is two. The first one is, tell us when shall these things be? The second one is, what shall be the sign of thy coming, which is also the sign of the end of the age. In the Jewish mind, there were basically two ages. The one they were in, the present one, and the age to come, which is when their Messiah would come. So when Messiah comes, that's the end of the present age. It would be the same sign for these two related events. So there's two questions here. But what's the first question asking? When shall these things be? Well, what are these things? And in context, you have to go back and say, well, what has he talked about previously? Well, he's talking about the buildings of the temple and their destruction. That's the question. When shall this take place? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? That's another event that's taking place. That's how Matthew's gospel, oh, I didn't put these animations in there. Oh, well, that on the very left is Matthew's gospel. Mark's gospel, the middle one. Tell us, when shall these things be? Well, that's a question that's asked the first question in Matthew's gospel. But then he asks, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Literally, the Greek text reads, what shall be the sign when all these things are about to be fulfilled? When it comes to pass that we're right on the precipice of the fulfillment of these things. What are the these things? Context. The destruction of the temple. Luke's gospel. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? Same question as the first one in Matthew's gospel. And what sign will there be when these things, literally again, are about to come to pass? A little bit difference about being fulfilled and coming to pass, but the same idea is there. Mark's gospel, Luke's gospel, are dealing with the destruction of the temple. Notice what's missing. That Matthew includes the second question. What will be the sign of thy coming at the end of the age? Mark and Luke are not answering that question, at least immediately. I want you to look at Matthew's gospel here while we're in Matthew, and then we're going to go back to Luke and look at some of the words. Let's just read on down. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end, wait a minute, end? What end? Well, what's the question? The end of the age. That's what he's dealing with. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, wait a minute. Is that dealing with the destruction of the temple, or is that dealing with the second advent of Christ? Then shall they deliver you up and to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, which I identified last week, is the gospel of the kingdom is the coming of the king to set up the kingdom. Not the gospel of salvation. Certainly that would be included in it. But it's the gospel of here comes the king, shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall be, what end? End of the age. That's what Matthew is dealing with. He's dealing here with tribulation events. Verse 15, when therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him that which be in the Judea flee into the mountains, which let him which is on the housetop not come down. I'm just going to skip on down here. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. There shall be great tribulation, verse 24 or 1. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This tribulation that he's speaking of is the worst tribulation of all of earthly history. There's never been any like it before or that will come after it. That's important to note. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man should say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, so on and so forth. And verse 27, for as the lightning come out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Second Advent. Let's look at Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 21. And see if we're talking about the same thing. Luke chapter 21. In verse 6 is the prophecy about the stones of the temple. Verse 7, they're asking him the question. Verse 8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not out therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up unto their synagogues and to their prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. With all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and you shall be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with it armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain. Does these words here sound familiar? Do they sound like Matthew's words? I could say, yeah, we've read some of those things in there. But hold on a second. Verse 21. Or verse 20, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof, the desolation of Jerusalem, is at hand. What are we talking about time-wise? Well, the Olivet Discourse, according to Matthew chapter 26, was uttered 2 days before the Feast of the Passover, 2 days before Jesus would hang on Calvary's cross and die for our sins. After his resurrection, he had a 40-day earthly ministry. 10 days after that is the day of Pentecost. After that, we have the book of Acts. And history tells us that the Roman general Titus came against Jerusalem in 69 A.D., and for a period of time besieged the city, and it finally fell in 70 A.D. Verse 20 of Luke's Gospel. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, which is exactly what Titus did, he circled the city, then know that the destruction is nigh. What are we talking about here? A historic event that was fulfilled in 70 A.D. Which tells me that everything from verse 8 on down is dealing with this period between Pentecost and 70 AD. It's all happening then. And if you go through the book of Acts, you'll find out that all these things actually did take place. Well, maybe not all of them are listed in Acts, but nonetheless, they were betrayed. A number of them were persecuted for their faith. They came up before the political leaders and were tried. What he's saying here actually did take place. It's not dealing with tribulation events. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled, but woe unto them that are with child, and so forth. When you get to verse 25, now we're talking about things that are happening at the second advent. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's happening at the second advent. The Gospel of Luke in the Olivet Discourse is not dealing with tribulation events. Now, that doesn't mean that some of these things can happen also in the tribulation. In fact, they do. But Luke's gospel is dealing with Pentecost to the destruction of the temple and the second advent. Turn over to Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 13. The question is asked in verse 4. Verse 5 says, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, and so on and so forth. And verse 10, and the gospel, doesn't say the gospel of the kingdom, does it? And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand. Well, that sounds exactly like what Luke is talking about here. Now, brother shall betray brother and shall be hated. Verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation. Now, what's he talking about? Well, we identified the abomination of desolation given in Daniel's gospel or Daniel's prophecy as occurring right in the middle of the tribulation. So what follows in Mark's gospel follows the middle of the tribulation. And as you read through here, you're going to get down to events that are taking place at the second advent of Christ. Verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and so forth. And then shall you see the sign of the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power. Mark's gospel deals with up to 70 AD, but the middle of the tribulation on. Why? Not only is he adding those things, but the question was, what about the destruction of the temple? And Jesus is going, basically what he's saying here is, you think that's bad, get a load of what happens next. Now we come back to Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 24. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Nowhere in here does he say about anything concerning the destruction of the temple. But he does say this. Let me find my place. I know I should have written this down. He as well talks about, there it is. Verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, all nations. Well, you're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom when? When the king is about ready to come. That's tribulation times. When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Mark or Luke say something about the abomination and the destruction? He was talking about the destruction of the city. Here we see the same words, but he's standing in the temple. Well, that's in the middle of the tribulation. In other words, we have the temple, it's destroyed. The temple's going to be rebuilt, and what happened before is going to happen again. And what's the person supposed to do? The same thing they saw when Titus, the Roman general, was coming. Flee to the mountains. Exact same language. They look alike, they talk alike, they walk alike, and sometimes they even talk alike. You can lose your mind. You can lose your mind trying to keep these things square. But it's absolutely necessary. Simply because one thing sounds like another does not necessarily mean it's the exact same thing. So he is dealing with here with these things, everything that's happening in the tribulation, nothing before that. So each gospel is dealing with a slightly different aspect with a lot of the same language. What does that tell me? History repeats itself. And the correction that God offers the first time is often the same correction that he offers the second time. But there's something even more important that's here. When shall these things be? They came and they showed him the temple and all the buildings of the temple. And if you read in the other Gospels, there's also the passage where the men were throwing in money. And there was this poor little woman who only threw in a couple of cents. And he said, they put in of their abundance. She's put in of the little that she's had. She's put in proportionately more than all of them. Israel took pride in their temple. Their temple was magnificent. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the world. It was years and years and years in its making. It was just fabulous. What happened to the temple? Well, Jesus said, my house, my Father's house, should be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. It looks great on the outside. It looks big. It looks fantastic. But inwardly, it's a mess. In Matthew chapter 23, just before this, he said to the Pharisees, you're like whited sepulchres. Outside, beautiful. Inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Good for nothing. But Israel had all its glory in the temple. Nobody else had anything like it. And in their thinking, that could last forever. Jesus said, ain't going to happen. One of these days, it's going to be level. Not one stone left upon another. If I understand correctly, when the Roman army came, it was believed that within the stones of the buildings of the temple was gold. And they literally took one stone apart from every other stone to find the gold. And the prophecy was fulfilled to the letter.
I read that it was burned. There was gold inside the holy place.
Oh, yeah. Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that over 1 million people died in the conflict. Horrible. But Jesus said, in the time of the Great Tribulation, that will be the worst tribulation the world has ever experienced. Now, if he was talking about the destruction of the temple, the Holocaust, which was greater in numbers, doesn't measure up. The tribulation time, when over half the population of the world is decimated, doesn't match up. When Matthew talks about this great tribulation, he's talking about end times, not the destruction of the temple. But here's the thing. How many times do we look upon things as being magnificent? As being really, in the eyes of God, something fantastic. I won't pick on anybody here tonight. I'll pick on myself. I came here tonight, Kyle, sweater vest, dress slacks, hair's combed. I put a little on this morning and brushed my teeth. They didn't need it, but I did it anyway. No, it's not true. I opened my Bible. Man, this guy's got it together. And inside I'm thinking, I wonder who's going to win between Dallas and San Francisco tonight. What do you see that's going on inside? You can't see it. God says, I know the inward. I know what's taking place. You guys are looking on the outward on this temple and saying, man, that's fantastic. And here are these guys that in 2 days are going to crucify me. And God says, I am a God of justice. Do you think you can get away with it? And the answer is, Israel will be trodden down till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And the temple collapsed, the city was ruined. And until, even up till this day, that Israel is trodden down of the Gentiles. They're under Gentile dominion. They've never regained a complete sovereignty and the blessing of God. The kingdom has not yet come. But it's going to. And I think with the destruction of the temple, God is saying, this is just the first. I'm giving you time to repent. Time to change your mind concerning me. And get right with me. Because an awful tribulation is far worse than anything that you've ever seen is coming. And the application that we can make for you and I is as we can say to the world, there's even a greater judgment than all the world wars put together. And that's the judgment of an eternal. You've seen things that have taken place in your life. Apostle Paul was, or while Saul of Tarsus was walking down the road to Damascus, and man, he was blinded. God said, Paul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I blinded you so that you can see who I am. And that's a message we need to take to the world today. There is a judgment that is coming. And so is Jesus Christ. Don't look on the outward. Don't say, well, just because I'm all dressed up and I smell good, that things are right. You need to be right with God right here. Let's pray. Father, we've just stuck our big toe in the waters of the pool, the Olivet Discourse. I pray tonight that we will be careful in our Bible studies, not just here in this portion of Scripture, but other portions of Scripture that may sound alike with other things, that we lose not our mind because they talk alike and walk alike and all those different things. Lord, may we be faithful to rightly divide the word of truth. But even more so, may we be those who take the truth of the word of God, share it with those who need to know the God of salvation. And may we do so with confidence that your word will be fulfilled exactly the way it's stated. And may we be used of you to win a great harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our behalf and rose again and is coming. To that end, we pray in his name. Amen. Good week.